Paul with an optional skate today. What can you tell us about the lineup today?
Well, I can tell you everything about the lineup.
What would you like to tell us? Will Dmitry Kulikov play?
No. If he gets through today, he's only had one full day of contact. So if he gets through today, we'll take a real hard look at him for Boston tomorrow. And then Jansen Harkins will come in for Gabriel Bork. Other than that, the lineup's the same, and Hellebuck's going.
Three out of four to start.
That's pretty good, right?
That was pretty good. You did well.
Thank you.
Three of four to start the road trip. Obviously, don't know if we'll talk about the overtime goal, but to have what you've been able to accomplish on the trip to this point, day off yesterday, you like where this group sits coming in today with back-to-back?
Yeah, you know what? Our team looks different than it did a week ago. When Kopp comes back in and, you know, Kulikov's coming, it changes the structure of our lines. It changes the style of game that we play. So there's some enthusiasm. I felt going into the Christmas break, we'd kind of maybe hit our threshold on injuries, and we were missing so many pieces that there's some fatigue set into our hockey club, and I don't feel that now. I think that we're used to having the guys out of the lineup that we do, and we think we got a pretty good team right now.
Does that make your team stronger over time?
Well, we're on the ice there last week, and Kopp came out, and Brian Little and Kulikov, and they're skating around. You forget about those guys. When they're out that long, you kind of go, hey, that guy's pretty good. I got a spot for him. So it does, right? It kind of lifts the mood a little bit, and we're looking forward to getting them all back.
Well, when the organization made the trade this summer, I think a lot of people in the Winnipeg market were saying, we traded for what? For whom? Neil Pionk?
Yeah, right.
And I mean, I think it's fair to say that he's done a pretty good job of dispelling that and letting people know
he's
exactly
been, who he is. He's been really, really good, yeah. Kenny. Like, we liked him. So the story goes like this. We go into New York last year, and they had played in Montreal the night before. We were waiting for him, and I start to... Kyle Connor, Mike Scheifele, and Blake Wheeler, and he starts Stahl and some kid named Pionk. And I'm thinking, this is going to be really good for us, and we're down 3-0 after two. And you're watching, who is this kid, right? So we had a look at him up close there. And then we looked at him as a version of Josh Morrissey, similar games, but they are different. And he gets to the walls pretty heavy when he needs to, but he has been. And he's... Because of the situation we're in with our defense this year and Bofflin's absence, he got pushed into numbers that I think are great for him. He's a really fit guy. He's capable of handling it. So it kind of brought him, I think, it gave him the opportunity to be as good as he is, but we are exceptionally pleased with how that's worked out for us.
That game you're talking about, is that maybe where the seed was planted a little bit?
Well, you're walking off the bench going, who the hell is Neil Pionk, right? Yeah. And why is he shutting down our number one line? So that was the first time that we had seen him, yeah.
What stands out about Hellebuck and the consistency that he's had throughout the first half of the season for you?
You know, to try to pick one thing, Kristen, might be difficult because he's a really, really intense guy. And this year he's looked completely calm in the net. So when he's at his best, he has this kind of aggressive stance, but he doesn't move a whole lot. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't talk to the goalies much other than how you doing. I don't talk to our goalie coach ever about anything related to the sport. So that's what I see. He's got this fire in him, but he's calm in the net. And I think that's his personality. Like, he'll talk hockey all day long with you. And you can ask the Winnipeg guys. There hasn't been a goal go by him that he didn't think he should have stopped. Right, or if a bunch went by him, still thought he played pretty good. Like, he's a unique personality, but he has been the backbone of our team. He's really focused, really intense, and I think improving.
You have a shared experience with Sheldon as coach of the Marlies as well. What was that like, right, for you when you were doing that in that point in your career?
The Marley job kind of came to me as a suggestion from Jim Rutherford. I'd gone over to the World Championships, and I had met with John Ferguson just accidentally. And he asked me if I'd consider working the American Hockey League. And I'd said, well, maybe not yet. You know, I think I was 8 years into my NHL tenure at the time. And Jim said, that's a place that you could go and wait, right? The your next job, you want to get a chance to maybe coach a team that you could win with. And you could go there. So that was the mentality for me coming here, was not to coach the Leafs. It was, I could coach in Toronto. And you know, it's a really strong organization. So the American League team's going to be good. They're going to give you good players. You could spend 4 or 5 years there and enjoy your life a little bit, too. So and then, of course, things changed far sooner than I thought they would. And the next thing you know, I was at the bigger building. And then not. So it was a memorable time.
Paul, it was an unusual summer for Patrick Laine just with the contract and that. Have you seen any evidence that hurt him to start the year?
Well, I think he and Kyle Connor were off for about the first 3 or 4 weeks. They just weren't as good as we think they could be, and then they worked through it, and now they're better than they've been. So, yeah, there is a lag. I'm sure you can find a player that missed all of training camp that got off to a great start and was fabulous. But in general, I do believe in that axiom that if you miss camp, you're going to be behind it for a while. The positive would be is they're fine now. There's no lag now in their game, and they've been good for us for a couple of months now.
So what is better than he's been in the past look like? Where have you seen that growth? I guess,
All the 5-on-5 stuff away from the puck, right? Those to play in this league now, the game is so fast that you have to anticipate what your line mate, what your D partner is going to do, because if you have to watch him to make the decision on what a player is going to do, you're all slow. He's not the fleetest foot guy, but he's a big, powerful skater when he gets going. He's playing with two very, very fast players. And in that dynamic, the slower of the players has to do things to allow the other two players to be fast. So if they're waiting on you to make a decision or to run your route, you will slow people down. And he's learned then to simplify his game so that the other two players can play fast.
He's setting up goals more than he's been scoring this season. Did you see that happen before the season started?
We would have seen that right from the start, and again, you'll have to ask the Winnipeg guys, but I've said that early on. This guy's almost as good a passer as a shooter. Like, he can pass the puck and he can find it, but now he's playing with two other guys that can score goals, so that's a little different maybe, you know, than kind of how he started. So he's making... I thought early in the year he was passing up some shots. I mean, he had 13, I think, against Toronto the other night. I think he's back to getting the right decisions off, when to pass and when to shoot the puck.
I apologize if this was asked earlier, but Peter Laviolette was let go the other day.
Yeah.
Mike Babcock was let go here. Pete DeBoer was let go in San Jose. Three.
I'm concerned about the trend that you're going
with. Three NHL lifers
with
really good records, no longer coaching
in
the league. What does that say in the overall picture?
They're coming for you one day, right? All of us, no matter what, you're going to get fired. All three of those guys are coming back, right? They're just... The difference is now they all got huge contracts that they're sitting on at home and enjoying Christmas. And when they come back, they're probably making more. So Pete's all right. Well, I left Pete DeBoer a pretty profanity-laced congratulations message. So that's what's changed.
What do you think has contributed to your longevity in Winnipeg?
So much has changed in that market with that team over the years. So when my first full year there, we made the playoffs for the first time, didn't win a game, and then this was truly by design, and Kevin Cheveldayoff had told me this right from the very first call. Come in and put some structure in here, but Paul, this team's going to get really young, really, really fast, and you have to be, interested in that rebuild idea. So we did. We got really young, missed the playoffs for a couple of years, and then it built, and then kind of maybe going through what Toronto in some ways is going through. When you have these young players come in and score the way they've scored and play so well for you, they're going to get paid, which means there's a retooling that has to happen kind of next. So, I've been a part of it, I guess, more than anything else. And as long as the good pieces keep getting better, we should be fine. If not, I'll be on Steve's list.